on through the book of Ephesians, we have gotten close to handing out equipment. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about this. Ray said, you early. You got me in the sermon early. But Ray was telling Cindy and I he's going off for football. Amen. And I was telling him, you know, once you start, and I was telling Shirley this morning, and I say, you know, I give Shirley an update on Ray because she's a Sunday school teacher, so I give an update. I say, Ray said he's going out for football. Mm-hmm. I say, Ray, you know, once I sign that check, you in it to the for the long haul. You in it for the long haul now. Ain't no turning back. And I thank God for you guys. Once we open up the book of Ephesians, we're at sermon number 33, I believe. You know, we may have 10 more. I didn't know I was going to get caught up in chapter 6 like this, but it's a lot. And this is an important chapter. This is spiritual warfare now. And we get ready to go out on the battlefield. And I was thinking about this and back in 1967, a movie came out, and I'm going to read the storyline, and it was about a major, I'm talking about a guy in the Army. He's a major in the Army, and he said he had an attitude problem, but had a history of getting things done. And he was told to interview military prisoners with death sentences and long prison terms for a dangerous mission. Some of y'all already didn't caught on what movie I'm talking about. Okay, and the mission for these guys was to parachute behind enemy lines and cause havoc for the German generals at a rest house on the eve of D-Day, or the eve of the invasion of Normandy in World War, that would have been World War II, right?
Yeah.
Amen. And the movie starred all the big shots. I'm glad my father came in because I probably watched this movie with him 50 times. He liked them Army movies and westerns. And he probably most of you guys did Vernon and Dave and I don't know about Roy. He my age. He remembers some of these guys: Lee Marvin and Ernest Borgnine and Charles Bronson, Jim Brown, Donald Sutherland, Telly Savalas. A lot of these guys played in this movie, and it was a great movie. One of the top-ranking movies of all time. And when I thought about it, I was thinking about the storyline of the church. And see, today's church is like those German generals at a rest home. And see, the enemy don't have to parachute into the church. They just come right through the front door. And we welcome them in and give them a mint and a cup and an ink pen. Tell them to enjoy themselves, and we work hard not to preach anything that's going to offend them. Because we want them to come back and keep coming back. If they come back long enough, we'll give them a position. We'll sit them up in a pulpit or make deacons out of them. And they're causing havoc in the church. You know, my daughter, I don't know how many years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, when God first called me to preach, it maybe longer, I don't know. She it was Father's Day, and she gave me a plaque. I'm gonna read the scripture. We only got one verse today. And she gave me a little plaque, a little sign. I got it sitting on my TV. And it's our scripture. Let's stand and read our scripture. I thought about it. See, the world know what you're getting into when you say you've been saved. So when we talk about this morning, Sunday, through the lost world know what it means when a person say, I'm saved. They know how we're supposed to behave and how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do. They know. Because most lost folks haven't thought about it. Especially if they've been ministered to. Look at verse number 10. Now, I'm not going to have you stand long today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Amen. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for what You've done for us. Thank You for giving us songs like "Heaven is my goal." We know it's going to be tough. And it's been tough, and it is tough. But You've been by our side all the time, and we thank You. We thank You for the good times, and we thank You for the bad. Because You're a good God. And we pray right now that You would just bless us, Father God, and show us in this message why we need strength. Why we must be strong in the Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Karina gave me that plaque and it says, "Be strong in the Lord." That's it. That's all it says.
Yeah.
Be strong in the Lord. She knew Ephesians was one of my favorite books, and now you guys know. And she bought me that, and I watch it, and I look at it, and as I walk out it every day, and Juanita was talking about this morning Sunday school and how we have to be prayed up as we enter into this world we live in, and all of us
Amen.
Are challenged. We have three powerful enemies that we face every day. Amen.
Amen.
The world. John, 1 John 2:15 says, "Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." Mm-hmm. All of us in here dealt with one of those this week, if not all three.
Amen.
The world system, and when he says the world, talking about the world system that's opposed to God, that surrounds us. I was watching, just going through the news a little bit. I go through the news on the website. They have news. It's a Christian website. They have a transsexual cartoon coming out where a cartoon hero is transsexual. High schools all over the country are having what they call, for you know, the end of the school year, gender bender day. Y'all know what gender bender day is? I see Gloria, she knows. Let me say something to you young men in here. Deuteronomy 22:5 said, "This is an abomination unto a holy God for a man to wear women's clothing." Little Jeremy, Bobby, Ray, Keelan, don't let none of your classmates trick you into putting on women's clothing.
Amen.
Not for one minute.
All right. Amen.
I don't want Sylvia coming back here talking about her pumps is missing. Gender Bender Day. In France, they televise on national TV the first same-sex marriage that took place in that country. Government officials were there, the prime ministers, everybody. Listen, the world system hates the Word of God. We face it. The church faces it. Christians face it. And the church has been really quiet because we don't want to offend nobody. I remember preaching in Warren, and I was preaching a message, and the message wasn't titled "Gay Rights" or "Lesbian Living" or nothing like that. It was just a message that probably touched on it, and I was approached after the service by two females. And they wanted to jump on me. And the lady said, "Well, I brought my friend here today, and I didn't know. And I didn't know you was preaching. You offended her. Now she will never come back." I did not know that she was lesbian. I didn't preach the message with that in mind. When I look out among you, and I don't look at that. I preach God's word. And if you do bring someone here that's lesbian or homosexual, I would hope that you bring them here to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
The world, and then we have the flesh. That old nature. That old nature, we deal with that old nature. Paul says, that what I want to do, I don't do. That what I want to do, I don't do. We in this flesh, and it's troublesome. This flesh don't want to be saved. It don't want to come under the control of the Holy Spirit. It wants to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul says, then you have quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And we did everything the world did. Some of us still are walking in the course of this world. And I hope you one day hear the word of God and it quickens you out of the deadness of sin. Out of the deadness of sin. Then we have that devil. That third enemy. Peter calls him, and Jesus called him a worthy adversary. Peter describes him as one like a roaring lion, which walk about, seeking whom he may devour. And many of us have watched those National Geographic movies, and that lion ain't running to the head of the pack. He's going to the weakest, that one that's slow. Move real slow. They're not looking for somebody strong. They're not going to the front and getting, you know, that Carl Lewis type deer. Okay. Son Bolt. They ain't looking for that one. They're looking for the one with the bad leg. They don't want to burn all their energy. Somebody said this week, I was listening, and he said, the lion sleeps all day. He's only awoke 4 hours a day. The rest of the time he's just asleep. So if we have to deal with all those, we deal with the world of flesh and the devil. And Paul knew that. So when Paul said, after all we've studied in Ephesians, he's getting to the part now where we're getting ready to go out into the battlefield. We're getting ready to work this thing out. And Paul's saying, you need to be strong in the Lord. Now he's not saying we need to be strong in ourselves. Okay? Because we lose. We lose. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Sound like the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, knew something about that resurrection power that we ought to lean on. I like to think like Job, and Job says, though ye slay me, yet I will trust him. So we have these illustrations, but we need to be strong. So Paul says, finally. He says, finally. We get into the good part. Then he says, brethren. Look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren. He's not just saying it like we say it. Everybody, brother. What's up? What's up? You know, and then I'll be, what's up, bro? Paul's not saying it like that. He said, finally, my brethren, those that have had an experience with the Lord, have had an encounter with the Lord, that are born again, that are saved, that are living for the Lord. Even though you are saved, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you're living for the Lord, Paul still knew you have to be strong in the Lord. You have to be strong. Strong for what, somebody must say. Oh, I'm so glad somebody said, strong for what? Listen, it takes strength. It takes a strong individual to serve God. You have to be strong for service. Let me say that again. You have to be strong for service. God said it. Paul said we are his workmanship. Created unto good work. Satan wants to stop the believer from serving God. He's doing a good job too. You know, we read Psalms 100. And I know it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, on the surface, that sounds real pretty, don't it? That sounds real nice and real flowery, but how many know it's not easy to show up on Sunday morning and sing a praise to the Lord or to make a joyful noise? Because, see, Satan has worked all week to take your joy away. That's his job. To kill, steal, and destroy, and he can take your joy away. Take the praise out of your heart. He's got a victory. He's got a victory. So we need to be strong for service.
Yes, sir.
Strong for service, because there's so much out there that's trying to stop you from serving God. And you know what Satan's greatest tool is? Distractions. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13 and 15, we talk about it. False apostles, deceitful workers, gimmick churches, entertainment church, mega churches where you can hide off in the balcony and be gone for months and nobody know. We have that. We have that. So we need to be strong for service. What do you mean? Satan uses gimmicks and gadgets. Satan is a copycat. Okay? Y'all know that. Remember when Moses went before Pharaoh? Moses had a rod. Turned into a snake. Guess what? What did the magicians do? Same thing. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Now, I'm not going to have you turn to a lot of scriptures, but this is one you need to turn to because we use it all the time. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Because Satan has his fruits of the Spirit. And Satan's job is to make it hard for you to serve him. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. Now, this is interesting. Because Satan is a copycat. And in this sense, it's ugly. This is ugly. Okay? Look at verse 19. I'm going to go right there. Look at that. The works of the flesh are manifest. 22 said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we talk about love. Satan's idea of love is right off the top. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. The works of the flesh is adultery and fornication. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Satan counters that with uncleanness and lasciviousness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and goodness. Satan says it's idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, and strife. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is temperance and meekness. Satan says envying, murders, drunkenness, and reveling. Many Christians on both sides of the spectrum. And when we get on them, because they're not here. But many Christians aren't spiritually strong enough to serve God. Y'all understand what I said? You have to be spiritually strong to serve God. Timothy, 2 Timothy. And I'm still talking about serving God, the strength that you need. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 and 25 talks about six traits that we as servants of God have to have. Six that we have to have. And they are so clear. They are so clear. Six of them that we have to have. And again, look at verse 24. It said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Six traits. Must not strive. How many have been to churches where the head of the deacon board is always right? The head of the trustee board is always right. And the pastor is, I'm the pastor. It's my way or the highway. See, the servant of God must not strive. I'm just taking it right out of the Word of God. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Look at the second thing he must be. Gentle. He must be gentle unto all men. And I'm not talking about Charmin. I'm not talking about being milquetoast. I'm not talking about somebody running all over you. Must be gentle. The gentle in the sense that you know you're dealing with someone who probably don't know the Lord. The servant of the Lord must be able to teach. Maybe it must be able to instruct and train, not complain. We do a lot of complaining about folks. We do a lot of complaining in the church about folks not doing what they ought to be doing. But do we have the ability as servants to train them? The Word of God said that the older women ought to train the younger. Amen. Servant of the Lord not only must be apt to teach and train. Look at number four. He must be patient. The man of God that will be ordained and licensed under my ministry will be patient, will be apt to teach, will be gentle, and will not be confrontational and argumentative. And I'm taking it right out of the Word of God. Look at the fifth one. Must have the spirit of meekness. And I'm talking about the pastor on down. It's not my way or the highway here. The pastor of this church, I am accountable to the people. Okay? This is not a church where I'm only accountable to the bishop. We don't pay tithes to another church. We're not sponsored. We serve the Lord. Look at verse 25. In meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. How about that? Instructing those who oppose themselves. What's he saying there? The lost. The lost. You know there's lost folks in the church. Lost folks in the church, been blessed. God's been good to them. They've seen God's hand on their life. They've seen God deliver them out of situations. They've seen God work. And they still need instruction. You know, Joshua knew something about that. Joshua led a great army. He witnessed God's move in parts of Red Sea. The Jordan River was parted. He watched the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And the people did too. They seen all this. They seen how God just dropped the most formidable walls ever built. Drop them. How he slaughtered the king of the Amorites and the Canaanites. But Joshua still had to instruct these people. He says, listen. He says, after all you've seen, verse 14 of Joshua 24, he said, now therefore, fear the Lord. Why would he even have to say that to a people who have seen God work in their lives and deliver them and bless them? He said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. These folks had been delivered, had been blessed. And they were still holding on to idols that they'd gotten from a previous time. He says, put away the gods of your fathers who you served on the other side of the floor and serve ye the Lord. They weren't listening. All of them weren't listening. Joshua started talking to himself. He looking at these folks that have been blessed. Got their gold on. Got their nice clothes on, got some money in their pocket, ready to go out to eat after church. He says, listen, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. How about that? God delivered the Amorites to us. We living in their lives. We living in their land and still won't serve God. How about that? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is Joshua. We will serve the Lord. You have to have strength for the journey. Amen. Joshua probably was almost 90 when he said this. The same Joshua who was one of the three spies that came back with a good report. Joshua. Strong for service. You know you need strength to suffer. When Paul said be strong in the Lord, do you know you need strength to suffer? Now there's two types of suffering. Matthew said, blessed are you when men shall revile you. That word revile means condemn you, censor you, despise you, and criticize you. Every child of God ought to know something about that. Certainly the pastor should. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Why? For my sake. Not because you a jerk. Not because you a knucklehead. Not because you're not preaching God's word. If they revile you for being faulty, then you probably got that coming. And you probably don't have a blessing behind it. I believe that's what Jeremy was praying. Paul says to Timothy, he said, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Carry that around. Take that to the job with you. And let everybody around you know that you trust in the living God who is able to save all men. And let that be known about you. Life will be a little different for you. There was a time when David was on the run. He had went down to Abimelech's territory in Achish, and he was under duress, and they were about to find out who he was, and David started faking, slobbering all over, acting like a fool, acting like he was out of his mind, acting like a madman. What had happened to David? David had lost his faith in the Lord. Amen. He forgot that God had promised him a kingdom, and David was living like a coward. David wrote a psalm after God brought him to his senses. He wrote Psalm 34 and 1 and said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually be in my mouth. Are you strong enough to suffer? James chapter 5 talks about this individual. And it's important. And we look at this scripture, and this don't apply to everyone. This applies to the people of God. In chapter 5 and verse 13, look what it says. Talking about having power to suffer. Oh, Deacon Nels, I know you know what I'm talking about. Thank the Lord. Y'all better thank God for his presence, because see, we all going through. God going to touch everybody in here. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing that God don't strike you out of here with a massive heart attack. You don't have time to ask God for forgiveness. Blessing that God give you suffering grace, where you can get on your knees before him and get right with God. I want to suffer. Look at James 5 and
13 says, is any among you afflicted? Afflicted. There's a difference between persecution and affliction. That means somebody, God is touching your body. Let him pray. Let him pray. James is a prayer warrior here. He's not talking, just put up some frivolous prayer. This ain't like the newscasters on TV when a tragedy happened. Our prayers go out to them. Really? This ain't when a football player get hurt on the field and they all get in a circle and get on one knee and they all will be praying. Really? This is written to people that know the Lord. These football players live like animals and drink and party and act like fools, and now if somebody get hurt, they gonna just pray? Don't work like that. See, that's why I say you can't have everybody praying for you. He says to this person here, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? It takes the power of God to suffer. Is there any among you sick? All of us in here sick. All of us in here got stuff going through our bodies right now. It's just a report away. Is any in here among you sick? Listen, let him call for the elders of the church. Everybody can't do that. You don't have no church. Who you gonna call? Who gonna sing for you at your funeral? Who gonna come over and help your family put the funeral plans together? Who gonna bake you a sweet potato pie or a lemon cake? I heard you. Listen. Let him call for the elders of the church. How you gonna call somebody you don't know their number? Come on, Jesus. Don't have nobody to call. I remember one of the saddest things I ever seen when the fire up in Warren and all them kids got killed. And the lady didn't have a church home, didn't have a pastor, didn't have a choir, didn't have nothing. Had a pastor, don't even know their name. Didn't know their kids. Isn't that sad? Your kids all burn up in the fire with you. Don't have a pastor, know their names. Raise them kids in the church. Here we go. To Romans 8. I know I'm flipping y'all around a lot. Get your Bible study and your sermon in all in the same day. Listen. These Satan's people will tell you you're doing all that praising the Lord and all that going to church and all that you do at the church that don't mean nothing. There ain't no God and all that. You got to know better. Amen. You have to know better. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 34. One of the great scriptures and verses in the Bible. Given for comfort. Paul says, who is he that condemneth? Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants you to quit. I always say, if you've been serving him all your life, he's not leaving you when you're on your deathbed. He's going to be right there with you. Amen. Ushering you into the pit. Who is he that condemns? Satan. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. That's a comforting statement. Who is even at the right hand of God? What is Paul talking about? He not only raised Christ from the dead, God not only raised him, but he set him at his right hand. The right hand means a place of authority. Remember when he was coming up, he said, my right hand man. That's somebody you can depend on, you can count on. Jesus is sitting at the right hand, and what's he doing? He maketh intercessions for us. Now, when you got all that going for you, Paul says, now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You need to know these scriptures when you have strength and strength for suffering. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, Paul says none of this can happen. You're saved. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, which is in what Jesus Christ done for us by dying on Calvary's cross. Listen, do you have that kind of strength? Do you have that kind of strength? Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 3. For those who struggle in that area, and we do, we all do, Paul said this. He thought about what Christ had done for him. And what he done by dying on the cross. And we preach through this. Paul says this in verse 14. He said, For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. How or where? In the inner man. Oh, we spend a lot of time taking care of these bodies. We take a lot of time taking care of these bodies. We run to the doctor as fast as something happens. But let me tell you something. Flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of God. Salvation is an inside job. And we need to work on the inner man. Listen, verse 17. That Christ may dwell, may live in your hearts. How? By faith. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. In love. Rooted and grounded in love. But when that evil day come, and it's coming. It's coming. Be prepared. It takes strength to suffer. It takes strength to suffer. Listen. It takes strength. Fight. How many know the Christian life is a battle? It's a fight. It takes strength to fight. Sometimes you gotta fight yourself. You gotta fight this flesh. Sometimes you gotta fight them family members. Sometimes you gotta fight them church folks. Most of all, you're gonna fight that old enemy we have. Listen. What David said. I know I talk about David, and I use these prison illustrations because I think Paul spends a lot of time in prison. See, wherever you spend a lot of time at, you're gonna talk about. And Paul used to look at them Roman soldiers. He looked at them Roman soldiers, he said, if church folk, he said, if church folk will be as committed and as dependable and as loyal and devoted as these Roman soldiers, what a church we would have. A Roman soldier was committed. These folks worked out. They were strong. They were brave. They were courageous. They were dependable. You have to worry about them. Paul looked at that soldier every day. We're going to get into the armor of God maybe next week. He looked at that armor. And he looked at that soldier, that commitment, that loyalty, that dedication. And he looked at his church. And he said, my God, I wonder if we were just as strong as these Roman soldiers. We don't like to talk about fighting in church. We turn so soft. We're so seeker friendly. We want everybody to come to church and be happy. Be comfortable. You know, I know some of y'all want to get some new benches in here with tilt all the way back and put the little holes on the side so you can put your drink in. My one buddy said they come into church, they got coffees and drinks and bagels and everything else. And y'all, some of us wouldn't have a problem coming here with our what we call these cups. I don't drink coffee no more. I lost track of it. But we come in here like we, I see them at work. They come to work at, like zombies holding their coffees. We in a fight. Psalm 144, David says, blessed is the Lord. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war. Well, y'all didn't know that was in there, did you? Which teaches my hands to war. And my fingers to fight. Paul said it takes strength to do this Christian battle. You got to be a fighter. Look what he says to Timothy. He said, fight the good fight of faith. See these things and follow after righteousness, faith and love and patience and meekness. Then he says, fight the good fight of faith. I like what he says last. When you're conditioned and you've been fighting, he says, lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of it. Make a claim to it. Lay hold of it, Chester. Lay hold of eternal life. Don't let it go. Because Satan's trying to pry it out of your hand. Trying to pry it out of your spirit. Oh, you got to do this to be saved. You got to do that to be saved. You really ain't saved. Tells Timothy. Now he's in 2 Timothy. He's on death row. Every time he hears a soldier coming down the hall, they could be coming to get him to cut his head off. That's what Paul was facing. You know what he said? He's still teaching Timothy. Oh, we can get this. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. You know what he's saying? I fought a good fight. I was knocked down once or twice. Took a couple standing eights. Had a couple black eyes. A couple head butts and stitches, a bloody nose. But guess what? I'm still standing. After all I've been through, I'm still standing. Paul said, I am still standing. I've been through it. And some of y'all get a black eye, a couple stitches. Oh, I'm done. This fight over for me. Throw in the white towel. It's not that kind of fight. God's people are called to fight. God's people are called to fight. But our fighting depends on the Lord. We can't fight this battle by ourselves. There was a young boy working with his dad and a big old rock his father asked him to move. Knew he couldn't move it. And the little boy got up under that rock and he was working hard as he can to move that rock. And the father said, boy, you ain't using all your strength. And he dug in deeper. And the boy, father said it a couple more times. Boy, you ain't using all your strength. Then the boy got a little testy. I am using all my strength. The father said, no, you ain't. You ain't using all your strength because you ain't asked me to help you. And that's what we do. And that's what we do. We get up under that rock and we fight in all our strength. And we have not asked God to help us. To help us. Amen. Turn to this great scripture as I close. Isaiah 40. Oh my. Oh my. Listen. Listen. That's right. This is a warfare. This is a warfare. And if you ain't in a war, if you ain't battling, if you're not fighting, on their right. Like the guy was at the paintball. He was at the paintball games and he never took a hit. I asked him, why, how did you avoid all the hits? He never got out of his car. See? See, we can avoid it. We can save our little paintballs. Don't mean anything. You in a war. How many of you know you in a war? And some of y'all been through it. Took some hits. Took some hits. Some standing eights. Some of y'all been hit below the belt. Buckled all down. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 28. This great scripture. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? This is the job of the church. What a shame it would be for anybody in this city not to have known or not to have heard. Hast thou not known? Deacon Matthew? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard what? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, what? Fainteth not. Fainteth not. God's children ought to be like their fathers. Fainteth not. Neither is weary. We're not going weary, weary Christians. Tired, weary. Can't ask them to do nothing. Don't want to serve. We talked about it in Isaiah this morning. Listen, if you had an encounter with God, you're ready to serve. You ought to be ready to serve. Oh yeah, this is thankless work. Let me tell you. This is thankless work. Thankless work. Ain't nobody coming in here. Pat on the back. Because the flowers is pretty outside. And thankless work. Listen. He fainteth not. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. Omnipresent. You search all day. I like this part though. Give it power to the faint. That's us. Somebody needs some power today. Somebody going against it. Struggling with something. Struggling with something. Trying to move that rock on your own. Not tapped into the Lord. He give power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increase the strength. For them that have no might, he increases their strength. God is good. He's a good God. And he knows all about you. He knows your thoughts, your deeds, your actions. He knows all your behaviors. And he knows what you need even before you ask. He increases your strength. Even the youth, even the young people shall faint and be weary. We got some young folks that are weary, that are faint, that are weak. Need help. Need the Lord. Think they need to sow their wild oats. Some of you young boys in here, 14, 15, you ain't ready for a relationship. Ain't ready. Be kissing on no 14-year-old, 15-year-old girl. Heart ain't ready. Ain't mature. Are you crazy? Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall without the Lord. If you're without the Lord, you're without strength. And if you're without strength, you are in a world of trouble. Listen. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord, that word wait means those that put their trust in the Lord. That don't mean you just waiting around. That means they that wait, they that put their trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Take a little study of the eagle. The eagle is the only bird that can look directly into the sun at a close quarters. Strong and mighty. One thing about the eagle, they see the eagle get ready early. See what the mother eagle do to that young eagle is take them up thousands of feet and just drop them. Just drop them. Gonna either fly or die. You shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Church, how are we walking today? How are we living this Christian life? Are we strong enough to fight off all that the world throw our way? Are we strong enough to suffer? Are you strong enough for that bad report? Teddy got a difficult report. I hope she don't mind me saying it. I'm going to say it because y'all need to be praying for it. But Teddy got a difficult report. I like this because she shared it with me. I thought it was just amazing. She got a bad report. She thought she had a minor illness. And the doctor says a lot worse than we first thought. She's going to be going back and forth to the Cleveland Clinic. Y'all need to keep her in your prayers.
Amen.
She might need bone marrow transplant. And if that don't work, she probably had 2 years to live. Hey, I'm going to put it out there. That's this church. This our family.
Amen.
Y'all need to be effectual in your prayers. But the thing that got me, as I put this thing on, the doctor looked at Teddy, and the nurses looked at Teddy, and they said, "Did you hear what we said?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "Yeah." So they were expecting her to fall out, start screaming and hollering. But you know what? Teddy and I talked. All of us in here, God been good to us.
Amen.
God has been good to us. We didn't eat good, travel well, dress good, live good. God has been good to us.
Amen.
And there's no need being afraid of going to heaven. Too many Christians are afraid of going to heaven. And we only a minute away. Are you scared to go to heaven? This is why I preach the way I do. Because there's too many church folks scared to go to heaven. You get a bad report and they go into the faith healer. They go into the healing ceremony. You get on your knees and you pray to God. And if it's God's will that you be healed, you be healed.
Amen.
And if it's God's will to bring you home, hello. Time to go. The key is to be packed up.
Amen.
The key is to have your stuff packed up and ready to go. Amen.